This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about donating bodies to science. The exhibit Body Worlds has been traveling the globe for more than two decades. It's the largest curation of plastinated human bodies in the world. The exhibit was created with the idea of getting people to live healthier lives. It's currently on display at the Da Vinci Science Center in Allentown, Pennsylvania. At the entrance, visitors are greeted by a skeleton. It almost looks fake, but then next to it is a tutorial on dissecting a human body through a technique called plastination, which permanently preserves the body. The bodies in the exhibit are posed in different positions. Some reveal layers of muscle and tissues, others show organs, and some display cases are just for one specific body part, like the large intestine. As people go through the exhibit, they recognize this is real, all of it.
I get joy out of seeing their reactions, whether it's cringing or not.
High school science teacher James Miller loves to see his students take it all in.
Oh, wow, that's the thing that we've been talking about in class, you know, the past couple months. And yeah, there it is. There's the real thing right in front of you.
I think it's amazing. Like I didn't know that, like, this was, like, in our body, in our organism. I didn't know, like we had bone marrow. I didn't know, you know, our skeleton, and people donate their bodies to science.
For some visitors, it puts a personal experience into context, like this woman who was diagnosed with leukemia.
And so I spent a lot of time in the hospital. I spent a lot of time getting procedures done, and even things like bone marrow biopsies. I had four. And over here, there was a cross-section of the bones.
Body Worlds has been seen by more than 50 million people in 150 cities. It was originally created by German physician Gunther von Hagens and his wife Angelina Wally.
One must also understand that the exhibition Body Worlds touches aspects of both life and death at the very same time.
She says people who are willing to donate their bodies to the exhibit can choose how and if they want to be shown.
There are quite a few donors who just want to donate their bodies for scientific or educational purposes, but they don't want to be on a public display, which we absolutely respect.
Marcus Biddle has this story of a woman who decided to donate her body to this cause.
When Body Worlds finally hit the U.S. in 2005, opening at the California Science Center in Los Angeles, it quickly became the hottest ticket in town. The museum opened its doors around the clock to accommodate more visitors and still couldn't keep up. But Angelina Wally says that the desire to see the exhibit was not motivated by morbid curiosity, and the reactions she overheard were deep and meaningful.
And I vividly remember one incident of a younger woman. She might have been in her end 20s or early 30s, and she started crying.
She told Angelina that she had tried to end her life three times, but seeing the exhibit gave her a new outlook.
She said, "I always felt useless, but now as I see how intricately and wonderful the human body is made, I feel I have something very important, something very wonderful inside me, and I promise you, I will never do that again."
Teresa Thompson had a similarly profound experience. She was one of the lucky ones to snag a ticket. She already had an interest in human bodies. Back then, she worked as an autopsy assistant and a sports massage therapist. And she always had a passion for keeping her body healthy and functioning. Even as a kid, Teresa was into eating healthy foods. One of her favorite hobbies was picking out fresh vegetables from her grandfather's garden, and she was selective about what she ate.
I could eat potatoes and oatmeal. I liked chicken for some reason, but it was when I ate super processed foods. Back then, they had this stuff called Hamburger Helper, which was always in our house, and I'm like, I couldn't eat it.
When she got to high school, she got into exercise.
I joined the synchronized swim team. I was on the track team. I got healthy. I was running and doing everything that took a lot of strength. I just felt so powerful in my body. And that was such a good feeling.
Teresa was living outside of Los Angeles when she heard about Body Worlds. And given her interest in the human body and health, she decided to go. She was moved by the exhibit. And as she was leaving, she noticed handout brochures for anyone interested in donating their bodies. You could attend a meeting to learn more.
There was probably in that room about 60 people, maybe.
They talked about the process of plastination, and Teresa immediately signed up.
There was no question, because of my experience with my own body, as well as seeing so much in other people's bodies through the sports medicine and also the autopsies.
But there was another reason. Even though she had tried to take good care of herself, she was just starting to experience many health issues, all related to the time she had spent as a rescue worker at Ground Zero following the September 11th attacks. And she described all of this in a letter she wrote to the Institute of Plastination.
And at that time, I had left the East Coast and my breathing problems had been diagnosed. And so I just thought, well, you know, if I do end up living a little longer, there's probably going to be more stuff.
She's also the only known 9/11 rescue worker to sign up for plastination to date.
I had to have parts inside my sinuses removed because they were so jam-packed. As you can hear, my voice is not smooth. So a lot of us, we still to this day, we make jokes about our voice because we can make it go up. We're always like clear in the throat, you know? Yeah, we're like a bunch of old smokers.
She still remembers rushing to New York after the Twin Towers fell. She was a volunteer firefighter in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, and drove up the week of the attack.
I drove really fast. Nobody was on the road at that point.
When she arrived, Lower Manhattan was engulfed in a cloud of smoke and toxic dust. She joined a fire station in Midtown Manhattan, whose job was going into the wreckage pile to search for survivors. Going into the pile was a dangerous job. The debris was still smoldering days after both towers collapsed.
The sound and the roar of the fire underneath us, it was still burning for a while. It's like our oxygen was sucked away from us.
She volunteered for 12 to 14 hours daily for 2 months. Each day, she had to shower for at least an hour to remove all the dust from her body. To this day, she's hypersensitive to most chemicals, even makeup. She was once hospitalized for a severe allergic reaction that caused her entire face to swell.
But it was the makeup I'd been using for years. I thought, gosh, I was never allergic to that before, but I had no idea that it was related to 9/11 at that point.
When she moved to California in 2005 for pulmonary rehab, she could barely do breathing exercises because of the pain.
It just felt like something was scratching in there all the time, like a cat clawing at your lungs, you know, with the nails, just scratch, 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 so it hurt to breathe.
Teresa has seen many fellow volunteers die from similar health issues. It's forced her to think about her own mortality every day. When her time comes to be plastinated, she doesn't have a specific request on how her body will be displayed, but she still has her helmet from volunteering at Ground Zero, stuffed in a plastic bag inside her closet. She's ready to donate it.
It would be nice to have an axe or, you know, something there having to do with firefighting.
She wants her body to showcase the danger of firefighting and the lasting effects of 9/11, and just how resilient and fragile human life is.
When you see that much death, you live your life in the moment more. So perhaps my body might have something that people might be interested in. I'm kind of glad I made that decision.
To her, the bodies embody worlds, frozen in time, their insides out in the open for the world to see, had the power to teach a much larger lesson about how we treat each other, especially with tragedies like 9/11 in mind.
9/11 happened because of humanity. And I as well think that that's very important to hopefully have that in there, that this was a human responsibility and how it was plotted and planned to be so destructive. On the inside, we're not all exactly the same, but we are the same. The only difference it might be with a disease or something. Not the color of the liver, not the color of a bone, not the color of anything. So I've seen too much of that hurt people, and I don't like that. And I feel that showing the body from the inside helps people to learn our similarities are much greater than our differences.
For The Pulse, I'm Marcus Biddle.